5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two forts of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.
What's your favorite alcoholic beverage?
If you love being in a girl group,
this is totally for you.
Some people call us overwhelming.
Yeah. Love it or leave it, we don't care.
No, but we want you here.
Welcome to You Can Sip With Us.
I'm Colleen.
I'm Ashley.
Hey, Ash.
Hey, Col.
Tell me about your day.
Yeah, you got a nice little wine there. You got a nice little wine. That's nice.
Yep. What are you?
I'm drinking a little. I have water, and then we have, I think I talked about it a couple weeks ago, these things that we get at Costco. It's called Ginger Love.
Yeah.
From the Suja brand. So it has purified water, lemon, ginger, pineapple. It has a little bit of stevia and cayenne. Because so a couple of nights ago, we talked about this on Patreon, didn't we? That Mac was sick.
Yeah. Yep.
So he woke up in the middle of the night puking. And this happened to him like a month ago or something too, or a couple months. I can't remember. But he was thrown up in the night.
I don't think we talked about it on Patreon because on Friday we were going to record for today. And you're
that's right.
Hey,
and it was Thursday
and
Friday night.
We were
night.
Texting about it. So that's I knew right. about it, but it was
yes.
over via text.
Yes. Yeah. So that's right. Okay. So Thursday into Friday night. I love you. Come say that. And can you say it right here in this microphone?
I love you.
Yeah. Little buddy. Thank you. I'll be out in a little bit. Okay. Speaking of the guy. So Thursday night into Friday night, I'm a very light sleeper. And I heard him kind of whimpering in the middle of the night. Maybe it was like 1 a.m. or I think it might have been 3 a.m. when he first woke up. And I could hear him and he was whimpering like he was in the kitchen. So I said, "What's wrong, bud?" Like I sat up, you know. And he's like, "I'm throwing up." So I go out there and he was losing it. It's kind of – I remember being scared when I was little. Like throwing up is kind of a scary thing, I feel like. It's like you have no control over your body. And I just remember like
it's
always feeling – yeah.
Yep.
Like it was just – I don't know. It's
very
strange.
Well, and you also kind of – like physically you like get the shakes. Like I still get a little shaky too.
Yes.
So there's the physical part. Yeah. So it's like this big, feels like a big
it's
thing
a whole
all
thing.
Around.
Yeah. So I just try to, you know, okay, buddy, you're safe. You're here. It's okay. But this happened a month or two ago. I can't remember where he also threw up in the night and we kept him home the next day and he was totally fine. So he was totally fine on Friday energy wise, but we obviously kept him home because he had thrown up and then we got everything cleaned up. Luckily we have mostly tile and I was like, "Did you throw up in your bedroom?" He said, "No." And he threw up three times, like down the hallway and in the kitchen, but it was all tile.
Yeah.
And so that was really nice cleanup. John, I had put, John can't handle it when the kids are sick.
In what way? Like the cleanup or is he like a dry heaver?
He gets like anxiety. What? Well, he does dry heave, but he also gets really, like, I don't know what happens in his brain, but he gets very stressed when the kids are sick.
Down.
Yes. And so I have to remind him in the moments because he'll be like, oh God. And I'm like, okay, offer comfort, you know, because he'll be like, oh shit, or whatever. Like he just gets real stressed and he like almost freezes. Mm. And so I was like, okay, why don't I'll get Mac. Put him in the bath. You watch him in the bath. I'll get this all cleaned up and just take care of Mac and, you know, get his jammies on or whatever. So we did that. And then Mac wanted to crawl in bed with us. So he was in bed with us. And then I heard John wake up probably about an hour and a half later. And I couldn't really fall back asleep. Yeah. I guess adrenaline.
Yep.
So I'm kind of laying there and all of a sudden I hear John say, you okay, buddy? And then Mac is puking in our bed all over our sheets. So that was, you know, really great. And so we changed the whole bed and whatever. And he had fell asleep on the floor as I was changing all the sheets. And
you're doing whatever. Laundry because you probably so John have like rags from even the cleanup from earlier.
Yes.
You, like all of a sudden you're doing multiple loads. Something's going in the dryer. Yeah.
It's a whole thing. Uh-huh. Yep. So, but then, you know, okay, keep him home. Friday, John got up with Revy in the morning, got her to school. I had slept in. So I went out there at like 8:30. I'm like, oh, are we taking Rev? And he's like, oh, she's gone. I was like, oh, you know, I like just like slept through the whole morning and Mac was in bed with me. And then he was fine all day, but he was home, you know? So it's like, oh, and then our car had a flat tire.
Nice.
So when John came in the morning, Mac and I went back to bed after John told me he got Rev off to school. And then probably about 9:30 is when I woke up. Because I was up from probably 3 to 6 or something like that. And he said, oh, the Tesla has a flat tire. And I was like, oh, but they don't give jacks or spare tires with the cars. So he was like trying to figure that out. He had to, whatever. Anyway, that was the whole thing. So I was on Mac duty, which is why I couldn't record. We usually record this episode like Fridays. And then we were fine all weekend. Friday night, did we do anything? I think we just hung out. We did like movie night. Saturday, we had a couple from our old neighbor's house. They were having a party. Our old neighbor that was having a party at their house. So we went over there for a few hours and it was like a pool party, pig roast thing. And then some neighbors in our new neighborhood invited us. And so we were going to go to the baseball game, but I was able to call and transfer the tickets to say, hey, can we go on Sunday? And they just moved the tickets, which is so nice of them. But so that way we could do these two parties. Had a great time. The kids were exhausted. Yeah. We came home. They were in bed probably about 9:30 and passed right out. And I went to bed as well. And then about 3 a.m. I woke up and I'm like, oh God, it was like sharp pains at first. Mm. It was kind of like, it was even in my shoulders and I was like, damn it. And I knew I had sugar yesterday. I'm like, damn it. I'm getting like acid reflux. I'm like thinking it's all the things stuff, you know, gut health, whatever. And so I'm just like, ah, this sucks, but I'm just kind of annoyed. So I'm awake, but I don't really know what to do. And then I tried to fall back asleep and all of a sudden you get that where it's like right in your throat. Mm-hmm. You know, and you're like, okay, well, this is happening. And I have a thing where I don't like people to hear me throwing up.
Oh, okay.
I guess. So I like left our bedroom and I went to the hallway.
As possible.
Yeah. Bathroom. Yeah. Yeah. I went and I run and, but I hadn't eaten since like 8 or something. So it had been several hours. So there's not like a lot in there.
You have like a normal, anyway. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to
get it's coming out. I am heaving and it is messy. It's wild. I don't. So anyway, I'm like, okay, this is strange. And then I start thinking, and then I'm getting like the stomach cramps. And so I go back to bed and then I woke up this morning and I said, I think I got what Mac had. And John goes, me too. I feel super nauseous. And this was at like 7 maybe. And the kids weren't up yet. And then I threw up again. John will not throw up. Like he will avoid it at all costs.
Yeah.
He just holds it.
How's that possible?
Which I'm like, get it out.
Because I feel like
when
you need to throw up, you can't hold it.
Right.
Like,
right.
It's so, and he just can suppress.
Yeah.
Wow.
And when we were in Mexico that one time where he got Montezuma's revenge and he was so sick that I thought he was dying because he got paralyzed,
yeah,
like for his arms seized up. And we were like on the way to the airport and the ambulance met us at the airport. There's no hospital on the way, but I literally thought he was dying because he lost function of his arms. And it turns out it was a panic attack because of how much pain he was in because he had Montezuma's Revenge, but he took Imodium to stop anything coming out the lower half. And then he refuses to throw up. So it's like this bacteria that's inside of him needs to get out. And he's like, nope.
No
You're
way.
Staying here, this right? So his body is like now. Shutting down. So anyway, that's kind of, I don't know how he does it. Because if it's like there in your throat, like I'm like, okay, well,
I
can't control this.
Yeah.
Get out of me. I want you out. Take whatever
flow
you need to do. Get it out of here.
However you need to flow.
Whichever way you need
Leave
to go.
Leave me.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So then I threw up again this morning and then just like the cramps and just severe nausea. John had nausea. So, and then the kids got up and we were going to go to the baseball game today, obviously didn't do that, didn't do anything. And it's just so like, it comes on fast and furious,
yes,
you know,
I do.
And hopefully it leaves as well. So the nausea has pretty much subsided at this point, but then I started moving into real like achy body, mm-hmm. right. And really struggling, like my arms. Revy wanted me to open, these apples. I felt so bad for the kids because they wanted to do – Revy and I were going to go get – we were going to do the game today and then go get pedicures
it's
together.
It's so awful when both parents are down and out to like – to not – to it's just a parent when you're sick. It's so hard.
It's so hard.
And you feel bad and it's everything. And yet you don't have the energy. Like you can't – like it's hard.
Yeah, Mac wanted to like play and he always wants us wherever he is. So he's like, come in here. And I'm like, it is hurting to walk. I'm like, sorry, bud. Like, if you want to be here, I'm out in the living room on the couch, but I'm not going.
Yeah.
But it was also like too much stimulation. So I didn't want really to hear their shows. I was just like not feeling good, you know? He wanted food and I'm like, okay. So I DoorDashed some McDonald's. We were going to do Chick-fil-A, but it's closed on Sundays. So I got McDonald's because he wanted chicken nuggets and french fries. And I was like, okay. I mean, and I can't be around food right now.
Yeah.
I can't drive. I just felt so weak. So McDonald's, they had like this bag. They served their Happy Meals with apples, but I couldn't open the bag. Mm-hmm. You know, like I had to get scissors. Because you know that feeling when you're, it's just like your muscles don't work.
Yes.
So I am feeling better today or tonight now. It's recording. We're recording. It's like nighttime. The kids are in bed. Well, your kids are in bed. Mine are totally off schedule. And I transfer the tickets to tomorrow's baseball game. So I'm hoping like I am feeling better. I haven't thrown up or had any other excretions since probably, you know, noon or something. So I'm hoping that just like a good night's sleep, then we'll be doing better tomorrow. And then I just hope Revy doesn't get it.
Yeah. I hope it spares her.
Yeah.
You know, when it came, I don't know if it's the same because there's, you know, norovirus, stomach
Tons
flu,
of strains,
24 hour things like, but there's like a flu like type thing that's fast and furious. And when it came through our house, it got me, Ben and Ellie, and it didn't get Chris.
Oh, which is great that it didn't get Chris.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Obviously you don't want it to get really anybody, but at least you had a set of hands there.
I
remember you saying now that he like needed to take a day because he was just, it was crazy.
It was crazy because it was all of us at the same time. It was like both kids and me. And I was I couldn't even move. I don't remember being that down and out like from something like that.
Ever,
maybe. I mean, but it was, you know, 24 hours and a good portion of that, I could not get out of bed.
Yes.
Other than to get sick and then go back to bed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Chris was just, I mean, he did so much laundry.
Well, yeah, because the kids
don't
have any.
It was so much.
They can't control it, right?
No.
They don't know to like get to a toilet. So there's lots of. Yeah. I told Revy tonight, I'm going to put a bucket in her room. And I was like, if you can't, I hope you don't get what we have. But if you do and you feel like you have, try to like run to the hallway. Try to not throw up on your rug if you can, because the hallway is tile. So like, she's like, okay, I'll try to run out of there if I need to. You know, but I'm like, don't worry about it if you can't, but like, we'll see.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's so funny. I'm like, I'm really not feeling good. But
Here we
you
are.
You gotta get up and you function.
Yeah.
You know, you do things. So I got the kids breakfast, I got the kids lunch, everything they need, their snacks all day. I'm doing everything. And it is just so wild to me how I don't, they say this about men, like the man flu or the man cold. Finally, I just said to John, like, you gotta get up and do something, dude.
Yeah.
Like, I'm
also sick.
I also don't feel good. So get the fuck out of bed and let's go.
Like,
I need to take it. I'm tapping out.
Yes. There is
come on.
No stopping.
No. No. At least taking turn, you know, because it's like, it's, I was just like a snack runner today for them. I don't know. But anyway, but yeah, I was like so annoyed. I'm like, I know that you feel bad, but so do I. Like, let's pull it together.
Welcome to the club.
Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There should be a, this is like a topic that I feel like you could probably Google, and maybe this isn't the best topic if there's people like listening to this on a lunch break or eating breakfast or whatever.
Right.
But when you grow up, no one teaches you things like, hey, when you're a parent, here's how you're going to clean up. Vomit all over your house. Like the best methods. Like, I feel like it happens so far and few between. I always scramble between do I get like utility towels or like what's the best way to do this, to tackle this? I sort of, I'm kind of like John in the sense I freeze for a while and the Chris will quickly be
Chris
like,
will spring into action.
I got this. You go take care. Like, he'll delegate in that way. I'm like, oh, okay. Got it. Yeah. Good. Like, I don't panic. I just freeze because I overthink the cleanup part.
Yeah.
A little bit. Or a lot. You know?
Yeah.
Do you just, you got like Chris, but Chris seems to always just like, it's innate.
No,
for
I
him.
Jump pretty much, like right into it no matter
what. Do you go kind of utility like towel? What do you?
So what I did, because it was on tile, was I grabbed two spatulas. I remember my dad cleaning up when I was little.
Spatula. I would have never gone spatula.
I got a plastic garbage bag, two spatulas, and was dumping it. And I almost puked myself because it's disgusting.
Yeah.
Putting that into the bag. And I did it. There was, you know, three spots. So I did that. And then I did paper towels to kind of wipe up any other wetness. And then I did Clorox wipes on it. And then final, I took a the Bona like wet mop or whatever.
Yep.
And just like went over the areas. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was, I did the first line of defense was the spatulas.
Smart.
Scooping.
That's
a game changer if you got carpet.
Right.
You know, like what, I don't know what I would do.
I have ruined parts of the carpet in our house from like Betty stuff or whatever, like whatever, whenever you're like, you have a thing you have to clean. I go way overkill on the spray, and there are entire sections of circle, like, not like huge, but there's spots where now I'm like, I have ruined this forever.
Yeah.
I have just destroyed. So, hey, our email is youcansipwithus@gmail.com. Yeah. If you're a wizard at these things, tell us what you do, you know, because this is the stuff that we need to know.
This sometimes I just throw, one time our dog had diarrhea on my rug in my office and I just rolled up the rug and threw it away.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no coming back from it. You know,
when a rug is in that state.
Yeah.
Of just old. Yeah.
It wasn't old. It was new.
Oh, it was
It was like probably 6 months old, but it was loose diarrhea all over it.
Yeah.
I'm like, not salvaging this. No way.
No, thank
Roll it up. Put it out in the dump.
Put it out to pasture.
Put it out. I mean, I don't buy like expensive rugs, so maybe it would have been different had I spent like $1,000. Because rugs are outrageously priced.
Outrageous.
They're ridiculous. I mean, it was probably like $150 or something, you know?
Yeah.
So it's not like, I mean, it's the same rug actually right here that's in my office right now. It's just a different, it's just a new one, you know?
It is crazy. Some of the things that are so high priced when you buy them the first time.
Yes.
And you can't get rid of them when you're trying to sell them on like OfferUp. So I'm dealing with this right now with when COVID was like peak COVID.
Yeah.
And every, you know, it was like there were certain things that were getting purchased a lot. And one of those things, like certain markets, like went through the roof. And one of those was outside stuff for your patio to make your outside area more interesting, because everyone was just outside. And I remember we had like people over and we'd like sit on the patio because that was the thing. You sat outside
for
a while.
Yeah.
And anyways, so we bought a fire pit table. Mm-hmm. It's a table that's also a fire pit. It's white. It's large. It's nice. But what we're finding now with like Ellie and even Ben is like the corners are just really sharp, and we put corner protectors on them, but still it's just like a awkward size, and we're like, we want to get rid of it so that we can open up the patio a little bit more and just kind of have more of a
more
sit
space
vibe. And I did not realize how much we spent on this thing. I was like, oh, we maybe spent like $200 on it or something.
Oh,
$300, $400. I don't know. Yeah. Whatever. And we looked back at the receipt of like our order confirmation. We spent $750 on this thing. What were we doing?
Yeah.
Why did we spend $750?
But well, then, you're saving a bunch of money, not traveling, not eating out, not doing anything.
But it's
I don't know.
A fire pit table. Right, it's a nice one, but come on.
Come on.
And then I Google like the same dimensions and white. It's like rust resistant. I Googled like the specs of it to get like what are what should I list this basically on OfferUp?
Yeah.
And they're going for thousands. It's like 1600, 1700. Yeah. So I list ours for like 400.
Okay.
So I'm like, okay, I bought it for 780. You know, great condition. Yeah. They're going for over $1,000 right now with inflation.
Yeah, this is a steal.
Can't get a bite on it.
Really?
I can't get a bite. No.
Do you think maybe it's the time of year?
Maybe.
I mean, I guess it is the time to be outside, but I'm just thinking maybe fire table is more like a fall, winter thing.
Maybe.
Like a cozy.
And we're not in a hurry to sell it by any means, so I'll just leave it.
Yeah.
But then I've also got, I had like a bunch of really high quality baby stuff.
Oh, yeah.
That I put on OfferUp, like backpack and walkers and all kinds of stuff. Good stuff. Bassinet. Mm-hmm. Hardly any bites. And I listed it for cheap, like, because we just wanted the garage
just
space back
and
you can't donate it to a lot of places. So anyway, this whole thing, rugs, you know, whatever. There's just things where it's like, man, there just needs to be a better secondhand market for this stuff or more people to like think to go secondhand, because I didn't think to go secondhand and I will now because prices are so high for
you
shit.
You found so many. Wait. When did you buy your first rental? Was this during, it was after, because now you've like furnished a lot of your rentals through OfferUp.
Yes.
But when you bought the fire table, that was like before you had learned that.
Yeah. I did not know what I didn't know.
Right.
OfferUp, Facebook Marketplace, those are the best.
Did you ever tell the story of when I was there in June, you had found this table that was like really nice and Chris went on this wild goose chase to pick it up and he sent you a picture saying, babe, I think this is your best find yet. Like, this is amazing.
All time.
Of all time.
And there had been at that point, so it was an outside beautiful patio table.
Yeah, like wicker, but glass top.
But like a blue, like really pretty blue glass top with like a light wicker. It maybe sounds kind of weird describing it that way, but it was very very stunning.
It looks very Pottery Barn kind of vibe, you know? Yeah.
Just gorgeous. And I had sent Chris, so I was sourcing so much for sourcing for the rentals and sourcing. And then I'd send them to Chris for him to look over and decide, do we like this? Yes, no.
Yeah.
And then he'd go and get them.
So
yeah, it was when we were all together, we were wine tasting and he, sent me a picture and he said, out of everything you've ever found, this is your best. This might be your best.
Gold medal winning. Yeah.
So he, you know, we were super careful. He gets it. We move it around to the backyard so that it's not just sitting out front because we don't want someone to take it. Mm-mm. It's, hey, let's take it up as soon as possible to get it all set up. So it's just in its new home, just ready to go. So he takes it up. He's, you know, setting it all up and I'm working one day and I get this picture. And he it said, isn't it lovely in its new home? Mm-hmm. And I got the table set up. And
let me see it. Let me see it. It's an environment.
I blink once. I blink twice. What? That can't be. And then you tap on the picture and the text and zoom in. What the hell? There is glass.
Shattered.
Just shattered in 100 million pieces, just little teeny tiny bits of glass, like an asteroid dropped on it.
Oh,
just boom!
Great.
Just
wow,
took it out.
Okay,
boom, like explosion type.
Uh huh.
And I called him. I'm like, what happened?
What the hell's going on?
So upset.
Yeah.
He was so upset because it was very preventable, maybe. Maybe not. I mean, he said that he was, so there was an umbrella. He felt like, you know, when it's just like on you, you're like, oh yeah, my gosh,
right,
like
right.
You just can't live it down. So he was adjusting the umbrella. It was all set up, you know, final, put the umbrella in the center, but then it was off a little bit. So he kind of like hard nudged it. And it was just that little adjustment of the way the umbrella was getting settled into the glass. Mm-hmm. It hit something just enough and the entire glass top just shattered.
Yeah.
And what was discouraging is you'd think, oh, just replace the top. Just get another piece of glass.
I don't know if I would think that, but.
You know, that I went there. I thought, let's just get a new replacement glass top. Okay, getting a replacement glass top, you could buy 4 new tables.
That's what I feel like I've heard, that glass is very expensive.
So expensive. But to then find just a different glass table, and we didn't love it, you know, we didn't love it as much. So we just replaced the whole thing because we couldn't get just a replacement. It just was crazy.
Yeah.
Things are nuts. Oh, Chris, there's a clarification here from Chris. He's hearing this.
Oh, he's overhearing.
In all caps, he said, it was the wind.
Oh.
The wind gust came whooshing through at the exact moment I was inserting the umbrella through the hole in the glass.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty brutal.
A wind gust did it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
Good clarification, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. Enough spending. It's time to save. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns helps you and your kids save and invest. The best part? No expertise required. Investments are automatically put into diversified portfolios based on your risk tolerance. Acorns even has an exclusive financial education content for your whole family. I love using Acorns. I've been an Acorns customer for a long time, and I know firsthand how important it is to save for your future when you have kids. And I've found Acorns to be a crucial tool.
The sooner you start investing, the more chance your money has to grow over time. From Acorns, mighty oaks do grow. Head to acorns.com/sip to download Acorns to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid testimonial and may not be representative of all clients. Compensation provides an incentive to positively promote Acorns. View important disclosures at acorns.com/sip. Investment advisory services offered by Acorns Advisors LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. Brokerage services provided by Acorns Securities LLC and an SEC registered broker dealer and member FINRA/SIPC. For more information, visit acorns.com. All right.
Okie dokie. Ash and Call. I have an interesting situation unfolding in my life at the moment that I want to hear your opinion on. My best friend from childhood just had a baby a few months ago. She had a wild pregnancy and a free birth. A wild pregnancy being where you don't see a doctor, and a free birth being that she delivered her baby on their rural property with only her husband present. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
As her best friend, I was so torn on how to approach the situation. I do not support how she went about things, but also I am not responsible for her and how her husband decided to live their life. It felt like such a dilemma, but ultimately I came to the thought process that I'm not responsible for things if they go dangerously wrong, and they're not looking to me for advice, so I wouldn't offer it. While I do not support her birth plan, I still want to support my best friend. I made her a homemade gift of birth affirmation cards strung through twinkle lights that she could hang in her birthing den. Thankfully, everything went well, and I felt like I could breathe again. That is until 2 weeks later when my sister-in-law became pregnant. My sister-in-law and my bestie have become really close in the last few years. They both took deep dives into rabbit holes during COVID and have a lot of the same beliefs. As you may have guessed, she is planning to free birth and has not seen a doctor. With this situation, I feel even more torn. I feel like with this baby, I am an auntie and it feels much harder to look the other way. They have one other child and she had him via cesarean almost 2 years ago. So this will be a VBAC, vaginal birth after cesarean, free birth on a rural property. My brother has expressed to her that he is not comfortable with the birth plan, but she seems to want to move forward regardless. In my opinion, he is backing down and praying that everything goes well in an effort to keep the peace. Am I supposed to do the same? Her and I have only spoken about this once, and I told her that I'm trying to navigate how to support her through an experience that I don't support. She's not telling her family her birth plan, and people in my family don't know the birth plan. I know my family would be very concerned as they were shocked to hear about my friend. So, would you continue to live your life and mind your business, or would you stick your nose where it potentially doesn't belong? Do I need to tell my family that this is occurring, or do I stay in my lane? I am partially looking for advice and partially looking to chat it out with friends. It's felt therapeutic for me to talk about it, and you're my homies. I feel like I'm sitting on the front porch and confiding in my BFFs. Eager to hear your thoughts.
Mm. I would have more questions for you if we were sitting on the front porch, but
yeah,
my first thought really is like, yeah, you do stay in your own lane. Because I don't know, I think birth plans are so specific and personal to everybody. I can imagine that that would be really hard if my sister had decided to do that, or like you had, I think I would be worried. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it really isn't our choice. Like when you're not the one giving birth, right?
Yeah.
So I think you support them in, and I would just do a little bit of work on like what is coming up for you. I mean, my guess is the biggest fear is that something goes wrong and, you know, you don't want them to have to experience that pain. That's what I'm guessing would be probably my fear, right? That something's going to go wrong. So hopefully they have, and maybe talk to your brother about it. That like they live near a hospital in case, because it is, to me, it does seem a little extra risky that it's going to be a VBAC. Although I don't know the reasons that she had a cesarean the first time. And it's totally possible. I've known tons of people that have done VBACs. But for me, I didn't dilate after 24 hours past a six. And so I asked them when it came to delivering Mac, would I probably run into that same issue? And they said yes. So like for me, it wouldn't have been a great option to do like a free birth at home because I could have run into complications. So maybe making sure or just checking in with them if you want to on like, or your brother, since it sounds like he's not super on board with this right away. Like, what is their plan if something happens, you know? Is there going to be a doctor, like maybe a doula? Are they bringing a doula? I don't know. But ultimately, like, as harsh as this sounds, it really is none of your business, which sounds awful because it is your family. But I just feel like people, birth plans are, especially people that do home births and, would she say, free births and wild pregnancies, to not see a doctor the whole time. Like, I can imagine that they feel very strongly about this and have probably thought this through pretty significantly and have decided this is what's right for them. So in this instance, I feel like it would be one of those things where this is your work to do, to be like, okay, how can I come to terms with this? And we will cross whatever bridge is presented to us if there is something that goes wrong. But ultimately, like when I'm actually doing a podcast about this on InSource, when something like this happens, someone's doing something that you don't agree with and you feel disappointed or discouraged or frustrated or annoyed or anything like that. And then ask yourself, like, how do I want to feel? Knowing I can't change them, how do I want to feel? And my guess is you probably want to feel love for them. And they don't need to change their birth plan for you to feel love. Like, love is created by thoughts that you're thinking. And I'm not sure what good would come of really asserting your desires here when it isn't your body and your baby. I think the best thing is going to be for you to feel love towards them and doing whatever you have to do in your brain to get you to that place. And if something does go wrong, then doubling down on the love and hopefully nothing. You know, people do this all the time, I'm sure. It's not as common in our country, but this happens all around the world all of the time. Babies are born like that, you know? So it's possible. Our bodies are meant for it, but I understand your hesitation, but my gut is just like, but there's really nothing you can do. So if you want to feel better about it, it's up to you to feel better about it without them having to change their plan.
Yeah.
That's my initial quickly, you know, what is your thought on this?
Yeah. I mean, I don't, like, to your point, I don't think you could ever with anybody, no matter who it was, like if I had a set birth plan and anybody was coming to me like asking me to change it or suggesting that I change it, my initial, like, that would not go over well. It's like,
right.
This is very personal to me. This is very, it's a birth plan is sacred, I think is the right word, for women, especially in what they want that experience to be like for them. And the thing with birth plans, and maybe where this is coming from, is they don't go to plan most of the time. There's always like something, right? And then with women, if something goes sideways during this time, it like could have really detrimental consequences. And so I understand like where the fear is coming from, right? But also to your point, Ash, like you, even with all of that, you have to sort that out and deal with it because you can't change and shouldn't change what somebody wants to do. But the other thing is that the husband, it sounds like her brother, is also afraid. And he doesn't feel comfortable, sounds like, saying anything, but he should, because probably the next person who has the most right to impact a birth plan is the dad as well. And if he's scared or nervous or has reservations or like whatever, that's for him to be able to say directly and for them to like work through together. And I think one of the best ways to approach challenging conversations that are tender like this, sacred like this, is probably to not discuss it with the sister-in-law at all, but get your brother, like maybe go for a cup of coffee and ask questions. Just ask some questions of like, hey, have you just, you know, I don't want to, totally don't have the answer. I've just been thinking a lot about you. And, you know, I'm so excited for the baby to come. Like, how are you feeling about all of it? Like, rural birth. Wow. You know, like, how are you feeling? And see what he offers, like, see what he shares. And maybe he would really appreciate being able to lean on the shoulder of his sister. And maybe you could ask him, say, hey, you know, if something doesn't go right, we all want to make sure we're there. Like, what's the plan? Do you have a hospital nearby? Like, do you need me to like sit in a car down the block with my phone on? Like, what do you need to support you?
Yeah.
You know, and see if you can't get him to offer just how he's feeling and see if you can help by just asking questions in a non-judgmental, non-confrontational, just purely supportive and curious.
But then you have to do that work first. If you're going to approach it to be non-confrontational and non-judgmental, I think you have to get to a place where you are non-judgmental and non-confrontational.
Yeah.
You know? Or the energy will, he'll pick up on it and he might get defensive.
Shut
who knows?
Down,
right. So like backfire. I think you gotta do this work first and truly try to get to a place where you aren't judging him and you are saying, I'm going to trust that you're choosing what's best for you and that I can't possibly know what's best for you. And I just want to be here to love and support you. Like, really do the work to get there so that you can have that conversation from a very true and loving place. And your energy won't be you won't have to really tiptoe. Like, if you truly believe that, then I think it'll come across that way and he'll feel very safe to engage with you. But if you don't believe it and you are trying to like between the lines persuade him to do something else, he'll pick up on it. And who knows if he would shut down or be receptive, you know?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Good luck. Let us know how it goes. Because also, like, my eyes sort of bulged out of my head a little bit. I've never heard of that. Like,
I haven't either.
Like, wow.
Yeah. Especially where there's no doc, you don't see a doc. I've never heard of, what did she say? Wild pregnancy?
Wild pregnancy.
Where that means that you don't see a doctor the whole time. I've never heard of that either.
Yeah. And my first instinct, and it's probably just whatever, my frame of work of like, I think about all the things that could go wrong. So I get it. Like if this was someone close to me, I'd have a lot of work to do on this because I'm right there with you and everything you're writing. Like, whoa. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. This, we're going to go one more and we're going to keep it. We're going to do this and then we're going to rave it so that Ash, you can rest because wow, you are here and that's really, I would not have been able to get up to do this. All right. So we're going to keep it light. Would you rather use sandpaper as toilet paper or hot sauce as eye drops?
Oh.
We're going to
probably
a little would you rather.
Sandpaper as toilet paper.
Every time. Yeah, hot sauce
and
eyes.
Yeah, I think so, because the hot sauce and eyes burnt, then you can't see for an extended period of time. I mean, I guess I just wouldn't use eye drops where that's probably what I would do. Like if If I chose the hot sauce route, it would just be like I'm not ever allowing myself to use eye drops.
Right. I think in along that same line of thinking, because we're kind of circumventing here.
Yeah, as I always do. Yeah, if there is a hole to be found, I will find it.
We are exiting stage left on these questions. But if we're going to dance that dance, then I'll say sandpaper as toilet paper because of the bidet.
Oh, true. That's great.
And then you know, you know, it's fine. You just it's have like extra sandpaper for when you need it, which you never know. When
it
you
sucks
might.
For your guests in your home because they're probably not using your bidet, but like whatever. It's not my butt.
That would be hilarious. You know? Just a house party.
Yeah, it's a house party.
Keeping things interesting.
Uh-huh.
Could you imagine? Just looks like soft toilet paper and bam.
Bam. Rude awakening.
Rude awakening. Okay. Would you rather accidentally fart at a business meeting where everyone knew it was you or smell like body odor all day and not be aware of it?
Oh my God.
You know, and by the way, these are my favorite. So if you, and this comes from Ashley. God. Thank you, Ashley. If you have any would you rathers, what would you do's, or just in a little light pickle predicament in life, feel free to email us at youcansipwithus@gmail.com. Or if you want to loft us the real heavy hitters, we'll take those on too. No guarantees.
This is a heavy hitter.
This one, yeah. And I don't know. About this is it's pretty straight on. I don't know the workarounds for this.
Right.
Which is great.
I mean, my initial reaction is like, well, I'll take the single fart over smelling all of the time. But however, in a room full of your leaders and everybody knows
that it's you,
I guess I would probably prefer to smell like BO. Problem is, like, I actually have friends that smell like BO and they don't think that they smell. Yeah. And so I feel like, there's this thing. Ignorance is bliss that's been said, and they say it as if it's a bad thing. But the more I learn about like thought work and how perception is reality, like ignorance is, that's beautiful to be ignorant, you know, like they don't know.
Yeah.
But everybody else knows, like, whoa. And I still love them so much and I still hug them and I still want to be around them. So I think I would choose that. Which is just really protecting my ego, I guess, because I don't know that I could face a room full of leaders knowing
that you farted.
I farted real stinky.
I think I gotta go single fart, no matter how embarrassing it is, because with the body odor piece, I can't hang. If it's that much.
But she said you don't know.
Well,
you would smell and you don't know it.
I wouldn't be aware of it, but I know how aware I am of other people.
Yeah.
And if that was happening where like people are sort of avoiding those same leaders or like it could get in the way of
right. They're still talking about you like, oh, she smells.
Whereas I think the single fart, it would still be mortifying.
Horrible.
I can just hear it. I can envision the room. I can see that happening. And I think comedy, you'd have to really own it. Like, hey, there's a duck in here. So you'd have to just.
Does it say it was a stinky fart? Or just a fart in the room?
Just a fart. Accidental oopsie.
That's not so bad.
Maybe it could just be endearing.
Yeah.
And then
I actually think if I was in a room full of leaders and another one of the leaders farted, I would probably love it. You know, it would be like, oh, you're so human.
Talk about an icebreaker.
Yeah. So actually, I might be folding. I think I might be going to your side with the solo fart.
I think it's a winning. If you got to play it right. You got to, you know, own it, not play it on.
Right.
Own it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Last one. Would you rather be the victim of a horrible crime or find out that in a state of insanity, you were actually the one who committed the horrible crime?
Oh, my God.
I know, these are so good.
What is the horrible crime, do we think?
We don't know, but it's horrible. It's horrible.
So would that be like
murder?
Let's just try. Yeah, murder. This would I rather murder. Be murdered?
Would you rather be the victim of a horrible crime or find out that in a state of insanity, you were actually the one who committed the horrible crime? So if you were in a state of insanity, maybe you don't remember it, but then there's
your life is ruined either way.
In jail.
I think
victim.
Victim. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can't bear the weight of that or to do it.
No. Right. And the way that my spirituality is set up now is I really trust that things happen the way that they're supposed to for the lessons that I'm supposed to be learning, that my soul is supposed to be learning in this iteration of my life. So even I thought about that with the birthing plan. It's like, if something horrible happens to them, as devastating as that would be, and I would experience grief with them, it would also be, there would be a part of me that would take some peace in knowing, like, this is, I don't know why it's happening, but I trust that it's supposed to be. Otherwise it wouldn't be, right? So if I were the victim of a crime, I think I would prefer that and to do the work of like, okay, there's a lesson here. There's a reason I'm experiencing this. There's something, this is elevating me somehow, or this is karma for a past life where I did terrible things. Right? Because didn't Erica say that? That like, sometimes if you're like, or did it, was it Erica or somewhere else I saw that said like, if someone's born with like, you know, or they face severe tragedy, that it can be like soul karma, that it's actually like they induced suffering in previous lives. And so it's their turn. And I don't know if any of this is true, but I do take comfort in believing that like all the things that are happening to me are supposed to be happening to elevate me in whatever way, right? In whatever my growth plan is. So I feel like, yeah, I would rather have it happen to me than me be the one that is doing that to anybody else.
Yeah, I don't want blood on my hands, man.
No.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about like horrible crime, murder, but there's some other horrible crimes.
Yeah. No. Insanity or not, I ain't doing it.
Yeah.
Right. I ain't doing it.
No.
All right. You can sub with us at gmail.com. Hit us up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anytime you need our two sips, let's bring it home. It's time to rant and rave,
boo and woo. My rant, I got three here. Let me just choose one. It's shopping carts with wonky wheels. I went to Costco the other day and I, you know, got the cart and it's starting to, it wasn't noisy. It was like not one wheel didn't move. So I'm like, you know, messing with it. And I'm like, okay. So I just abandon it like pretty near the entrance, turn around, go get another cart. And I start moving and it was loud, but I just thought it was like the pavement. And then I get inside and I'm like, oh no, you're just going to be noisy the whole time, but I'm not abandoning another cart. I'm just going to take it. But I thought this is quite irritating.
Yes.
To have the wheels that don't move or if they're wobbly.
Yeah. Or it's very like a squeaky wheel that's, it's not that it doesn't move and it's not that it's, and maybe it's wobbly, but it's almost like lighter than the other ones.
Yeah.
And so you'll just be like pushing wild. Normal and then it's wild.
It's wild.
Wild births. We got wild carts.
We got wild carts. Let's talk about that.
It's like a little stallion just trying to take off in a different direction. And three out of the four are doing, you know, going right and this one's cruising left.
Yes.
All of a sudden it just goes totally, you know, horizontal when all the other ones are vertical. It's just, I hate that.
Yeah, it's the worst.
It's the worst.
So, whatever. I wrote it. As soon as it happened, I said, I'm putting this in my app and I'm talking about it on the phone. It is so
I'm
going to, you know,
write this rant.
Yeah.
Okay. My rant is you're taking a shower, right? Yep. Like we're showering and this is something we do every day. And I usually shower after I put the kids, you know, we put the kids down. I look at my phone for a little bit. When I texted you, we just put them down. I look at my phone, I pull up Insta, you know, and then I'm going to go shower.
A little scroll.
And I'm showering. But the kids aren't quite asleep. Like Ben will lay there and he'll talk to himself for a little while. He'll sing songs, like, you know. And our room is next to his. So the shower is, you know, like it's in our, you know, bathroom. So it's connected to our, so basically he can hear if things are loud and we try and be very quiet.
Yeah. So he doesn't get FOMO. Something. Thinking, what's going on out here, guys?
Right. Cause any kind of sound could trigger like a curiosity in him to be like, Hey, you know, and he's done that. He'll come into the, you know, I'll be showering. He'll come in like, Mom, can I have another book? You know, like whatever, you know, so I'm awake. So I'm showering. And then this happens every so often where I have Butterfingers sometimes in the shower. It's just slippery and I'll drop something.
Oh, yeah.
And the sound of something dropping in the shower.
Yeah.
It is, speaking of like asteroid.
Yeah.
Asteroid hitting the earth.
Yeah. And you're just holding your breath like,
like a razor or a body wash bottle will just boom. And it just feels like the loudest thing ever. And then, you know, Chris will be downstairs and I'll get out of the shower. There'll be a text. He's like, is everything okay up there?
Yeah.
You know, because it just
oh
is
my God.
So loud.
Yeah. Yeah. Echoing and echo. You know, shaking the house.
Just catastrophic.
Yeah.
Catastrophic.
Yeah. He's like, did you feel that? Was there, I feel like there was an earthquake.
Yeah. Seismic.
Oh no, babe. I just dropped my soap in the
shower.
Just
dropped the soap.
Yeah. Whoopsies. My rave is this thing, and I knew Mac did this, but John always puts Mac to bed and I put Revy to bed.
Yeah.
So I don't really get like to get this that often. But there was a time when John was gone. It was back when he was visiting his dad in June and I was putting Mac to bed. And I realized that like it was when Mac had the crib that he likes to hold your hand as you're like tucking him in and singing the song. So he holds your hand. And he did it, you know, for the three nights or whatever. And I was like, oh my God, this is adorable. And I asked John about it. And he's like, oh yeah, he always wants to, you know, hold your hand. And then when I was in Portland, when we went up there just recently, I was with him. He likes to hold your hand to fall asleep. So we always do like slumber party. So I sleep in the bed with him and I'll hold his hand while he falls asleep. And then just today, he's, you know, the kids are doing what they can. So they got their iPads for a little bit and we were laying in bed and he was like, and it started getting dark out, you know, and he's like, mommy, I can't see you. Can I hold your hand? And he just wants to hold, just to be there, just to be near. Like he's not falling asleep. He's watching a show, but he just holds my hand. If I would ever try to take it away, he goes, oh, mommy, can I have your hand? And he just likes to hold it. And it's so sweet. I love it so much. And I wanted to like take a picture of us. I just, you know, those little things you just never want to forget. Like this is, because at some point he'll grow out of this, probably sooner than later. And I don't want to, I don't want to forget it. You know, these cute little things like, yeah, I just love that.
I saw something somewhere. You know how it is. We consume so much, whether it's Instagram or people actually saying it. Maybe it was from here, but it was something like if you're, you know, don't be the first one to let go when your kids are giving you a hug or holding your hand. Just don't be the first one to let go. You know, I love that. I think about that every so often, whether it's like a good hug or a good snuggle. Right. It's like, obviously these aren't going to last forever, but you know, I'm not going to be the first one to let go.
Yeah.
Today, Ben got an ouchie. We were out at a farm.
Yeah.
He was upset and he was okay. He was okay.
Right. Just a little.
It was an active thing. Afternoon. Yeah. You know how it is.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And, I said, remember, you can always hold my hand. You know, sometimes when I get hurt, I like to hold someone's hand. And he said, okay. You know, oh, we just held hands for a long time. And it is just
that little comfort. Their, yeah. It's so sweet.
Yeah. Their little hands are something. Like when I trim Ellie's nails and then I trim Ben's nails, hit like it's just the change in his hands going from what hers used to be like. And now they're like boy hands, you know, just that, those moments. Anyway.
Yeah.
My rave, we got our first, we don't get storms that often in Oregon. You know, they're only like every so, like lightning.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it can be kind of scary, right? When it's summer and it's been hot and, you know, we don't want wildfires here, especially after, I mean, I think the wildfires here a couple years ago, like really changed me, like my DNA when it comes to that kind of stuff. But, last night we had a really big storm, like a long storm, like hundreds and hundreds of lightning strikes.
Oh, wow.
Hundreds. And I don't, usually it's like, you know, every couple
here and
of
there,
minutes
yeah.
for a short time. And this was a couple hours of constant.
Thunder too?
Yeah. And we sat out on the patio and we just watched it. For a long time, and I loved it. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I remember selling books door to door when I would sell in places like Nebraska. We, you know, went to Tennessee a lot, and there's storms there all the time. And I remember so many people would just like open up their garage doors and put lawn chairs in their garage and just have beers and watch it. House. It's like, what is it about us? And but it's all I don't know.
It is. Yeah,
we're like connected, and it. It's cool to witness, like when it's not scary, when bad things don't happen, like the end was that it was fine and nothing happened. And
right.
It was
raining,
you know, great. But it was awesome. It was cool. I loved
it. I do love that.
Loved it. Betty was not having it.
No.
She slept in our bed last night. Right in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, Ash, go get some rest. Feel better. Right. Hopefully this just blows over by tomorrow. Yeah,
hopefully it blows through.
Yep. We love you all the time.
Thank you guys for being here.
Always and forever.
Truly.
Yes.
We're here every Tuesday.
Yep.
We're on Patreon every Friday, patreon.com/youcansipwithus. Slam the 5-star, share it on social. We're so grateful for you. And you can sit with us always.
And we will see you next Tuesday. Bye.
Want more You Can Sit With Us? How about another round of your favorite podcast?
Sign me up.
Join us for another round over on Patreon. That's where we give you the down and dirty. We get raw and real. We raw dog it over there.
Oh, yeah. Every Friday, at least, we drop Friday episodes over on Patreon and additional content. It's all ad free. You can sign up. Go to Patreon, patreon.com/youcansipwithus, or download the Patreon app and search You Can Sip With Us. Become a patron. $5, guys.
It's $5 a month. I mean, just give up your latte one day. One day out of 30 days, boom, paid for.
Yeah. Yeah. Totes, kabotes. Do it. We'll see you over there.
KCO.
Every Friday,
love
guys.
Love you.
Bye.
You're our crew. Bye.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, two-fourths of the British podcast No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.